Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You are a breath of fresh air. I can't wait to hear you again.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. We've been talking all morning about this beautiful memoir written by Vince Granata, Everything is Fine, about his story, which combines a true crime saga, terrible tragedy, of his own brother who knifed and killed his mother in the throes of a psychosis, the definition of psychosis being a break with reality in the throes of acute schizophrenia. Vince Granata, welcome to the show today, and good morning. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Vince, you went to Yale. You're Orange, Connecticut. You probably grew up listening to WICC. And if you didn't, you should have.
Yeah.
And we're very happy to have you on the show. You were the elder brother of triplets who came home one day from your mom had triplets. Oh, my God. What an extraordinary event for you in the neighborhood at that time. What year are we talking about?
I was 4 and a half when they were born, so it was 1991, and it was a very fast way to go from being an only child to one of four overnight.
And you were so happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was thrilling. I'd been, a bit lonely playing with my toys on my own, and here were three playmates arriving at once.
So what did you get, two brothers and a sister or two sisters and a brother?
So I have two brothers and a sister, and they're all two minutes apart. So they're, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you get these two brothers and a sister. Tell us a little bit about Tim. Tim, did he develop signs of schizophrenia in his late teens? Tell us about him growing up and the trigger. Talk to us.
So when you sort of look back at Tim's story, and in hindsight, it's easier to see some of the early warning signs that, when he was in his teens, when he was in high school, we noticed that he had sort of socially withdrawn a little bit and was spending a little bit less time with his friends. And at the time, it was easy for us to say, well, you know, he's just going through his teenage years and this happens in high school and sort of that process of growing up. And it wasn't until he went to college when he started to show sort of more overt signs of mental illness, at first presenting as sort of severely depressed, and then over several years, things like, delusions and sort of disordered thinking eventually leading to hallucinations and then full-blown psychosis.
And as this was happening and gradually happening, I think you know, Vince, and if you don't know, I'm the probate judge of Westport and Weston, and we have we have a mental health hospital in our district, and I was just there yesterday. I'm there all the time. And so I've made it my business to really learn as much as I can as a non-doctor about schizophrenia. So,
right.
But of course, the nature of schizophrenia, which in my view is the most horrific disease to have, is that you don't think you're sick. And so convincing somebody to move off their delusion to take medicine is next to impossible most of the time. How did your family, try with Tim? What did you try and do?
So when he first became ill in college, my mom was sort of the one who led the charge on really all of this. She was able to get him in to see, a psychologist, and he kept a lot of those early appointments. And there would come a point, and this happened several times with people he would be seeing, where the treater would suggest some type of medication or suggest that perhaps Tim was experiencing a psychotic disorder. And at that juncture, as you've alluded to, Tim was unable to have insight into his own illness. And as you said, sort of the most insidious element of an illness like schizophrenia is that it blocks the person in many cases from being truly aware of what's going on inside their own brain. And that makes it very, very difficult to treat in many cases.
Was he admitted inpatient?
He was about 4 months before my mother died. He did a 2-week sort of 15-day stay, which is sort of the longest period that someone can be sort of held against their will. Although that law is sort
without
of
being committed.
And,
well, without
right,
being committed.
Without
the hospital
commitment.
Could have committed
yeah.
him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so
yes. But he was able to, by the end of that 15-day hold, demonstrate enough sort of at that time, he began to take medication in the hospital and then sort of promised that he would upon returning home. But when he was discharged, he immediately stopped taking medication and essentially,
this is it.
And it's very difficult to get someone back into that kind of care without there being some type of incident, some interaction with law enforcement, or it's just very difficult to get someone in the throes of an illness like schizophrenia who isn't able to have insight into their illness back into care.
It's impossible in many cases. And Connecticut is one of just a handful of states that doesn't even have a law that if you have a conservator, you can at least threaten them with inpatient unless they take their medicine.
Right.
We don't even have that in Connecticut. So we got no weapons outside a hospital wall. We got nothing.
Very frustrating.
Very. Was Tim living with your mother at the time of what happened?
Yes. So after his hospitalization, he had at that point left college and then wasn't, you know, able to return, wasn't healthy enough to return either. And so he was living where we grew up in Orange at that time with our both of our parents were there. And my mother, you know, predominantly sort of watched over him during that time as he sort of grew increasingly nocturnal, would only sort of be awake during the night. And as his psychosis accelerated and really turned his world into just sort of a terrifying space.
And at some point he believed your mother was his enemy.
Yes. And while it's important to note that, you know, this type of violence is not common with people who are living with schizophrenia, and Tim had been off of medication without treatment for quite some time when he attacked our mother, the way his delusions turned, they convinced him that our mother, the person who had, you know, loved him more than anyone in the world, had in fact, when he was a child, secretly abused him, and it convinced him fully of this. And during his psychotic episode, he truly believed that he was defending himself by attacking her.
And I guess your father wasn't there. Was your father there? Like it was with a knife. It wasn't a gun. So no one else was in the house.
On the day my mother died, my father was at work. No one else was in the house when it happened. Yeah. And so they were alone.
We're chatting with Vince Granata. The memoir, which is beautifully written, is called Everything is Fine. You say that you couldn't face this for at least a year. You didn't want to relive the details or even know the details. It's totally understandable. I mean, your own grief must have been so overwhelming, Vince.
It was something I couldn't even approach, as you say. And I think it terrified me. So I tried what I thought was a survival tactic. And I tried to avoid, you know, learning about the day my mother died. I tried to avoid learning about schizophrenia, and it wasn't until, you know, a year after this happened that I started really thinking about all it was that I didn't know about the illness that my brother had and all of the things that were sort of working against him and working against us and getting him treatment. And it was the start of that process that led me to try to figure some things out in writing, which is one of the only ways I know how to get my thoughts in order.
So we're chatting with Vince Granata. You graduated Yale. You did your Masters of Fine Arts in Writing. You are now a writer. This is a beautiful memoir. We only have a couple of minutes left on the show. What do you want to share with us? What do you want us to know?
One of the most important things for me in writing this book and putting this book in the world is to, you know, show people that though Tim is someone who will always have this tragedy attached to him, he is much more than this tragic event in our family, and that he is just as much a victim here as our mother. The systems of care that we have for people living with serious mental illness are woefully inadequate, and they lead people like my brother, who was a loving, caring boy, they leave him, you know, in unable to get the help he needed. And because there wasn't a way to give sort of his chronic illness the long-term care that it needed, we had this tragedy in my family. So I really hope that people who pick up this book, who think about reading this book, can see how my brother, who I'm still very much in touch with, who is still someone I love deeply, is much more than just this tragic event. And this tragic event never had to happen.
And he had his own form of amnesia, which is very common, very, very common.
Yes.
And then over time, as he began to have his own thoughts cleared, and they probably tried to get him ready for trial, and so he took medicine, and then when he has clarity of thought, then he has all the guilt that comes with, oh my God, this overwhelming realization that he can't go back in time and change the nightmare scenario and make it not happen. How horrifying.
It is unimaginable what he has to live with, and it crushes me to think about the pain that he has daily based on the illness that we couldn't help him treat.
Is he in Whiting now? Was he sentenced to long-term correctional facility? What happened to him?
So he was at Whiting. He is still at a facility on that same campus. He moved from Whiting, which is sort of the maximum security facility on the CVH campus, to Dutcher Hall, which is sort of a medium security facility. It feels very much just like a locked hospital setting. And he will be there for whatever period of time the Connecticut Psychiatric Review Board deems appropriate. So he is still able to have visitors, and then we communicate regularly. And he is now, and it's been just about 4 years since he's been voluntarily taking his medication, and really has shown, you know, incredible improvement and insight, and which is heartbreaking too, because when I talk to him now, he's a thoughtful, sensitive man, and it shows me that, you know, he could have lived a peaceful life.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful book. I'm glad that you wrote it, and I'm glad that you came on the show to tell the story of an avoidable tragedy. And there's an awful lot of conversation and public policy that has to happen around schizophrenia. And I thank you, Vince Granata, for joining us today. It's beautiful. It's called Everything is Fine. Go read it. Learn something. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
It's a pleasure. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the Lisa Wexler Show. Stay tuned for Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli and Dave Ramsey coming up at noon.